Welcome to the Functional Alignment Show, where I aim to functionally bring alignment into all aspects of your life. This show is a valuable resource for individuals seeking to optimize their health and well-being. Specializing in the fields of functional medicine, chiropractic, nutrition, and holistic wellness, this podcast is hosted by myself, Abby Borkowski, also known as Apples Eats on Instagram. The goal of this show is to offer insightful discussions and practical advice on achieving optimal health through a holistic approach. From addressing the root causes of stubborn health issues to exploring the latest research in functional medicine, this podcast offers a wide range of topics to empower listeners with the knowledge and tools to take control of their health. If you are ready to become functionally aligned. Hi guys, welcome to the podcast. Today I'm starting something different. I'm really excited about it. So you can view this visually, me speak on the podcast on YouTube. I'm going to be posting the videos on there. So you can head to YouTube, my channel. It's going to be at Apples Eats. So the same that my Instagram and TikTok is. If TikTok stays, we'll see. But I'm super excited to start this just because I think it will help people visually be able to like connect and, you know, share the information better. So yes, I am repping Bills gear if you're watching online, just because go Bills. They play, what is it, the Baltimore Ravens this weekend. So keeping our fingers crossed here from Buffalo. But nonetheless, let's get started. Today's episode, if you see me viewing off, it's just because I'm looking at my computer with my notes. But today we are going to be talking about weight loss tips and how to realistically go about weight loss. I always have people, probably the number one thing is how can I lose weight? How can I do this? And more like starting off in this field, I would say that was like the number one question I got. And I always, people would never like my answer, but it's very unconventional, and it's, people always want to be told, you know, you have to eat less and move more, which I don't know why you want to be told that, because it's not that at all. Usually I'm telling people that you need to eat more and you need to exercise less. So usually it's the complete opposite. We have so much stress in our lives already as it is that you need to be eating more than you probably are, because your body's in flight or fight mode and it's going to take any food that it sees in sight and store it as the body thinks it's in that, you know, scarce mode. So I'll get more into that, but that is just, I'm going to start off with that. That's kind of the way that this episode's going to go. You may hear some unconventional things to weight loss that you may not have heard in the past. So stay tuned if you're interested in that. But nonetheless, let's start with the introduction for this episode. Again, welcome to the Functional Alignment Podcast. This is my first episode that I'm doing video recorded on YouTube. It will still be posted. You'll still be able to hear the audio version of it as well. But I just wanted to outline what we're going to talk about in this episode. So first, we're going to talk about common myths and that you hear about weight loss. So I already touched upon the first one, but I'll be talking more about that. And then a functional medicine perspective towards weight loss. So as you know, I want to get into functional medicine once I graduate from chiropractic school. I already got my certification. I'm already working, you know, kind of with some patients, not really, but under somebody right now. So I'm getting some experience, which is really exciting. I'm doing kind of exactly what I want to do so that I can better serve you in the future. And then I'm going to be talking about practical tips to get started to weight loss if that's your goal. And then lastly, if there's any closing statements or any common questions that I believe that I should answer for you guys, I'll touch upon that. But nonetheless, let's get started with some common myths and let's debunk those right off the bat. So first myth is eating less and exercising more will lead to weight loss. First, in the short term, this may work and you may see results. However, in the long term, this is going to backfire on you. If you are, think about this analogy. If you drive a car and you have no gas, the car does not drive. That is literally your body. If you eat so little, but you exercise so much, your body cannot function properly. So your body is basically driving on empty. You have no fuel in the tank to get by, so your body then sees any food that you do intake as you need to hold on to it. You're going to retain the food. You're going to retain its water content. That's where you see bloating happen. That's where you see weight gain happen, even though you are eating less, doing more. So that's where the chronic stress of eating less and exercising more creates more stress for the body. Chronically, meaning long term, that can then dysregulate your body and its hormones and all of its systems and actually cause you to retain the weight and gain weight. That's kind of why diets don't work either. It's just because of the chronic long term stress that it brings to the body. Now, when I say stress, I mean physically, mentally, and any other thing you can think about. Because if you're thinking about tracking all of your food, that's stressful. If you're thinking about getting to the gym every day, that's stressful. If you're thinking about weighing yourself every day, that's stressful. If you're thinking about how you failed at this one thing today, that's stressful. As you can see, my point here is that all of these things are bringing chronic stress to the body. The body perceives all of that chronic stress then, and that's why this push, push, go, go type thing with eating less and working out more is a recipe for disaster. And I cannot express this enough, but please, please, please eat more, exercise less. If you're doing that and you're not seeing any results with the, if you're not seeing any results with the eating less and exercising more, I can promise you that you need to eat more and you need to exercise less, or just eat more and keep exercising the same amount that you are. But usually it's the one of the two. It's just your body's in that chronic flight or fight mode, sympathetic dominance, and it's going to hold on to any chronic stress. Now, I've done episodes in the past on chronic stress and how the body can react to that. So if you're interested more in learning about a deeper dive in cortisol and all of that, you can dive into my previous podcast episodes. They're all titled, so you'll be able to find it. I can also link it in the show notes too. So basically, that's the first myth that I'm debunking, is that eating less and exercising more will not work. So please don't do it. Bodybuilders are a different breed. They need to do it for, I don't even know. I can't talk on bodybuilding because I don't have much experience with it myself. So don't come to me for that. There's coaches out there that can help you with that. But that's the only time where maybe bodybuilding will properly do it. But I advise just the normal person, please do not exercise more and eat less. Again, recipe for disaster. Second myth. You do not need to weigh yourself in order to lose weight or see it. Most times, if you're strength training, you may actually increase the scale and gain weight because you're putting on more muscle, and muscle weighs more than fat. But you actually may notice that you're losing size in your waist and it's shrinking. Maybe your pants are fitting a little looser. Maybe your shirts are fitting looser, your bras, your underwear, whatever you name it. That's a telltale sign, though, that your body is literally recomping itself and you're building that lean muscle that you want and losing fat. That's why I don't think a scale is needed. Sure, if a scale, again, if it doesn't cause you mental stress, which I don't know who a scale doesn't cause mental stress to, just don't do it. Like, quite literally, go off of how you feel. Go off of if you have enough energy. Go off of if your clothes are fitting different. That's all of the objective things that you need. You don't need an objective number on a scale to tell you whether you're doing good or bad in weight loss. Like, that's just so ridiculous. And I'm sorry that if you're tied to a scale and maybe I'm triggering you in some sort of way, but please just get rid of the scale. And I promise you the mental stress of that will help so much that maybe that's all you need. And that less thought stress, maybe you'll be able to then shed the couple of, I don't want to say pounds because that's where I think we interpret a scale, but that's maybe where you see your body start to change and you see the results that you want to see. Being very selective with my words, it's kind of tough, but I'm trying my best here. So let's talk about another myth that we have. That all calories are created equal. So if you do calorie track, I really don't calorie track. I just make sure I'm hitting my macros, and I think that that's a great way to go about it. I think that instead of worrying about if this product has 200 calories, you should be more focused on, okay, what's the fiber to carbohydrate ratio, or what's the protein content of this, or what are the ingredients of this. I think reading ingredients is so much more beneficial than reading the calories of a thing, of a package item. So if I have a protein bar, for example, which I don't really eat too often, I really don't eat packaged foods at all. I just don't believe really in them. I believe that we can get everything from Whole Foods, staying on the outside of the grocery store. But for this example, say I have, a protein bar. Say that protein bar is 300 calories. The ingredients are pretty clean, and the protein is, 12 grams of protein. Pretty solid, whatever. Say I have another protein bar that is, maybe it's going for 500 calories, and it's 22 grams of protein. Now that's a significant difference in protein, but it's also a significant difference in calories. And my point here being is that, yes, it's important to look at calories, but yes, it's also important to look at protein. There's 10 more grams of protein in that. It's probably more fat in there. It's going to keep you satiated for longer. Maybe sometimes I'm going to choose the higher calorie thing. That's why I just don't believe in just looking at calories and going based off of that. I think you should look at ingredients. If it's clean, if it's whole foods, if you can actually read the food and understand what it is, I think that that's way more beneficial than just grabbing a random bar that maybe says, oh, it's 100 calories, but it's 30 grams of protein. It's probably going to be crappy ingredients anyways. So that's where I guess my main point of this is, look at the ingredients. I would go off of ingredients more so than just the calorie or the protein content of a bar. That's kind of how I go about choosing products that I'm going to buy packaged anyways. But just, I think that there's so much, I don't want to swear on here, but there's so many terrible ingredients that these companies put into packaged foods that try and turn your brain reward circuit into an addiction to want to come back to these foods. So that's where you need to literally read ingredients of the food and make sure that you know what you're eating. Make sure you're not eating food that, again, is going to cause that like addiction to the food. There's plenty out there. That's why people grow so attached to chips or cookies or something like that. So I'm not trying to install fear in you about foods. I just want you to know that you can't just look at a food as 100 calories because it's packaged as a weight loss food and eat it. Because I promise you, if you were to eat 500 calories of something else that's clean, healthy, the food, it's probably going to be better for you anyways. So that's where I just don't get into the calorie game, please. Just know what you're eating, clean ingredients. You know the name of the food. That's my point there. All right. Next, let's go into how I touched upon how fad diets or yo-yo diets don't actually work in the long run, because in the short term, again, with exercise more, eat less, you may see positive results. You may see the results that you're looking for. However, sustainability is not there for fad diets, whether it be keto, so many out there right now. Carnivore is huge. I wouldn't really call that a diet, though. I don't really know. That's not sustainable at all. I really believe that people ask me, like, oh, you're dieting. How do you do that? I say I don't diet. I love the lifestyle I'm living. My diet is very whole food focused, very nutrient packed, very dense. I don't want to say the word clean, because clean can be interpreted very differently, but it's very whole food based. I know everything I'm eating. It comes basically, I could eat off of a farm if it were to come down to that. And that's how I think it should be. It should be farm to table. It should be, you know, the ingredients of all your food. So I guess that's why just diets don't work in the long term, because if you're restricting certain food groups, if you're restricting carbs in the keto diet, you're more likely to rebound two times worse when you introduce those carbs again, because your body's been depleted of them so much that that chronic stress again, it's going to hold on to everything two times more. Again, science behind that, but also just that's how I believe at least diets work in my head. I just think the chronic stress of them causes way worse effects and causes you actually to do the opposite in the long term and cause more weight gain. I also did a podcast episode on the myths behind dieting and why they don't work, so you can listen to that if that topic interests you as well. So now we're past the myths. We're going to go on to a functional medicine practitioner perspective. And this is how potentially in the future when I have clients come in and they want to focus on weight loss, maybe for fertility issues or so many different things, maybe better estrogen, maybe a man wants better testosterone production. Okay, so this is kind of how it would work if you were to go see a functional medicine practitioner. And I think they're among some of the best to work with people who want to do this in a natural way. And yeah, that's kind of all I can say about that. There's a lot of great people out there. So just do your research and I hope you find the person that works for you. But I definitely think you shouldn't do this alone. You should definitely at least lean on somebody or hire somebody to keep you honest, because that's the best way to do it. So functional medicine tackles weight loss very holistically. So kind of the key pillars to discuss here are, first, functional medicine practitioners are going to address the root cause of maybe why you can't have that stubborn weight loss that you want, or maybe why you're gaining weight uncontrollably. Okay, so we address the root cause, and to go off of that, root cause can come from so many different things. Maybe you have a mold toxicity in your house. Maybe you have a chronic infection. Maybe you have staph that's in your nose and it's causing this chronic inflammation and it's causing your body to go under chronic stress, and then you have all these inflammatory markers running in your body, and actually you can't, then anything that you try and do like exercise or you know, adding in foods, your body can't take that in the proper way because it's going to hold on to anything because you're in that chronic stress. So those are just some examples. To go more off of that, maybe you have a hormone imbalance that you're not dealing with properly, PCOS, insulin resistance, diabetes. People are more prone to, you know, having hormonal issues with leptin and ghrelin being out of balance, or with insulin and not having glucose being uptaken by the cells properly. So I'm throwing out a lot of words right now that may not make sense. Essentially, what I'm trying to say is there are other reasons why people struggle to lose weight, and it's very valid, and I think that more people need to know that, and it is validating. Some people are going to struggle to lose weight, and there's no shame in that. It's just the science behind it. You can't put everybody on this one diet fixes all things and it's going to work. No, you literally need to do lab work. You need to figure out what people are deficient in. Maybe all people need are to be put on the right supplements, and then their detox pathways can work. There is so much to look into here that no wonder why people are so confused, because we're not treated properly by the typical medical system. You're given a pill, or you're given, I don't know, a food pyramid that doesn't even work. So it's very, as you can see, I'm getting worked up over this. So I'm going to calm back down. But addressing the root cause, whether it be from chronic inflammation, oxidative stress, which just means that, think about like your cells are on fire in a way almost. I guess that's the best kind of visual I can give. But oxidative stress really causes that inflammation then to increase inside the body. So you're puffy. You have like that, if you've seen on TikTok, they call it cortisol face. Like you're, you don't have a nice like jawline, or you're really puffy in the face, that type of stuff. So maybe it's a cortisol. Maybe it's you already have that chronic stress and we're trying to deal with that. Maybe your gut health is so messed up that you can't lose weight because of that gut health. Or maybe you're losing weight uncontrollably and you're trying to gain weight properly. That's a whole nother topic. That's very valid as well. So there's a lot of root causes that can lead to somebody needing a specialized approach to weight loss or weight gain for that matter. And this will be a special anti-inflammatory diet. Maybe you need food sensitivity testing to know which foods you're sensitive to that you can't eat that cause you to go into an inflammatory reaction. There's so much to this. It's really, really, once the more I learn, the more I don't know. And I will constantly say that, because the more I am learning in my courses, the less I know. And it is so humbling. And I look at everybody out there who, I don't know everything, and I'll be the first to admit that. But I look at people who think that they know everything, and I just sit and listen and watch, because it is not worth my energy and time to try and, I want people who have an open mind and want to know this and want to educate themselves to be listening to this. I'm not trying to talk to somebody that thinks that they know all the answers. That's not who I'm trying to generate, but I really hope that maybe one day they kind of have an open mind and we could have a open conversation to how to approach this properly. But again, another rant I will come back to. So yeah, just identifying how a person individually needs to be treated is huge to help them with their weight loss journey. So again, if you go to a doctor for weight loss and they don't ask you how your sleep is, fire them immediately, please. Because if we're not addressing how you're sleeping, you will never like see weight loss, basically, because sleep is the most crucial part to stress reduction. It's when, you know, your progesterone is made. There's so many things. Your REM sleep is huge for stress reduction and making memories and controlling your brain and helping it heal. So just there's certain questions. If you're not sleeping well, that's like the first thing that we should tackle. If you are not eating well, that's another thing we should tackle. If you're getting in little to no movement, yeah, we should start slow and move forward. But I would say more importantly, let's start with the food and the sleep and go from there. So that's just kind of, you know, some personalized things that you need to really take people for where they are in the process and who they are and their own biology. I think that needs to be the starting spot for everybody. So then, let's move on to some actionable things that we can do and some tips and advice that I can give you, because I don't want you to just listen to this and say, now what? So from here, I already kind of touched on some things, but let's just go through them. So tips if you are looking to lose weight or just feel better, have more energy. First one is going to be, you really need to help your macronutrients, your macros, they call them. This is going to be incorporating healthy carbs. So eat the white rice, eat the sourdough breads, maybe flip your, have organic healthy pastas if you are. Just make sure you're not eating refined pastas, refined bread. Just really make sure it's from a good natural source. And then you really need to prioritize protein. So this is where I'm a huge proponent of eating grass-fed, grass-finished steaks, ground beef, eating a pasture-raised chicken, eating pasture-raised eggs, eating and if you can't get that high of quality, try and do the best you can. You know, there's not always times if I go out to eat for dinner, I'm not gonna be like, is this salmon wild caught? And I don't care. Like I can enjoy myself. I don't have to stress about what quality of the fish or the meat that I'm eating. I know that I do it enough that maybe a little bit is going to be good for my immune system, and it's going to be like, oh, okay, here's a little push. Let's help and make you stronger type thing. So you don't really need to stress about it all the time. Just do the best you can when you're at home cooking in your kitchen. So next, so that's basically prioritize protein, healthy fats, and carbs. That's going to be huge. You know, you really don't need to overcomplicate a meal. It really should just incorporate one of those three things. So for example, my meals will be like ground beef, it will be rice, and it will be a vegetable of my choice. And then I'll have goat cheese and avocado for the healthy fats. And I'm getting a lot of healthy fats as well from the ground beef, because I make sure to get an 85-15% fat percentage of it, just because it's so beneficial for brain health and for good, like good glowing skin and so much more, especially in the winter when your skin can get dry. So that's tip one that you can start to incorporate. And then another thing I want to talk about is how we can control blood sugar balance. This will be huge for helping in aiding weight loss, because it helps the insulin become more sensitive. You want insulin to be sensitive. You don't want it to be resistant, because when insulin is resistant, it can't take the glucose and use it in the muscles. It keeps it in the bloodstream flowing, so your body's not able to use it. So when you have that glucose flowing in the bloodstream, it's going to be more toxic to getting through this layer called your endothelium, which like is the lining of the blood vessels basically. So when that glucose can get through that endothelium, because it stays in the bloodstream longer, because that insulin isn't taking it to the muscle like it should be, because you have insulin resistance, that's when you start to see like plaques on the arteries. That's when you start to see like low, that's when you start to see risk for cardiovascular disease basically. But that's why controlling blood sugar is really important, and it's needed for proper weight loss as well. So little things you can do. I always say, if you eat a meal, go for a 5-minute walk. Walking pads indoors are so helpful. I'm literally staring at mine right now because I wish I was on it, but no, I'm just kidding. Go on a walking pad if you want. 5 minutes, that's all you need. Go up and down your stairs in your house. That's literally a great form of movement that you can do to incorporate. It's all these little things that once the muscle becomes activated, it's going to become more responsive to uptaking that glucose from the bloodstream. It's going to make you less insulin resistant, more insulin sensitive. Okay. So that's another tip that you can do. Again, adding in more light, gentle movement, like the walking, moving around your stairs, just, you know, cleaning, stuff like that, trying to incorporate more movement into your daily lifestyle. Not exercise, movement. Very different. Exercise is going to be when you're exerting yourself and pushing yourself. Movement is going to be everyday movement that you should be doing, just walking around, moving around your house, you know, parking farther away from a building with your car and walking a couple more steps. Little things like that, not taking the elevator, taking the stairs, okay? So next, I want to talk about how we can improve sleep levels. I actually did a whole episode on this, so I really highly encourage you to go look at that. But stress and sleep are directly correlated. So again, let's talk about sleep and how we can improve it real quick. Get outside more. That's my number one tip. Get outside more. Don't wear sunglasses. Expose your eyes to the overcast days that we have here in Western New York. I have a red light. I love the red light. It really helps me during the winter months, just kind of curb that like sunshine that I'm missing. So that's really helpful. Wearing these puppies that I have on my head. If you're not watching, I have blue light blockers. These blue light blockers are so great at night for helping me release more melatonin. Melatonin is your sleep hormone. Let me back up. Melatonin is made by dark lights. When it's dark out, you make more melatonin. However, bright lights inhibit, meaning stop, the production of melatonin being made and make more cortisol. Melatonin and cortisol work opposite, or they work indirectly of each other. So if melatonin's high, cortisol will be low. If cortisol's high, melatonin will be low. Cortisol is your stress hormone. Melatonin is your sleep hormone. So off of that, basically, LED lights at night is harming your sleep. It's disrupting it. So really get dimmers, get amber lights. I will be posting, I just made an Amazon storefront. So please go to the link in at the end of the bio or at the show notes, and I will post my amber dim lights that I use as night lights every single night. I have three of them in my house. It is the best purchase I have ever made. It helped my sleep immensely. I will also post these blue light blockers. And then I will also post an Amazon sleep hacking list that I love. I have all that stuff on there. So just kind of go to the show notes if you want some of my these things for your sleep aid as well. But sleep will help you lose weight better because it helps reduce stress. That's all I'm going to say about that. So then I don't really want to get too deep into going about nutrition here because I could talk about that for another whole 30 minutes, but to kind of wrap it up, you want to focus on food is on a spectrum of being inflammatory versus anti-inflammatory. You're going to have foods that are anti-inflammatory, like blueberries, anything with really bright colors in them. It's going to be great for the body. It's going to detox it, basically. It's going to help it. It's going to bring down inflammatory markers. You also have foods that are very inflammatory and are going to do the complete opposite and cause havoc to the body. You want to avoid those foods. Most likely, those are the foods I was talking about that are going to be packaged and you can't read the ingredients in the packaged foods. So just stay away from that, please. I understand that nobody can do this probably perfectly, but try your best. You can really do it if you plan and prepare. And yeah, that's all I'm going to say. But you control what you buy at the grocery store and you control what you bring into your house. So it's so easy to just kind of pick and choose what you get at the grocery store. If it's not in your house, you won't eat it. That's like the best rule that you can live by. Also, changing out what you cook with. This is a great place to start. If you start nowhere, start with this. Cut out any refined seed oils. Get rid of the vegetable oil in your kitchen. Get rid of the canola oil in your kitchen. Get rid of the soybean oil in your kitchen. You do not need these. Mainstream ads and grocery stores will tell you that you need these, you need to bake with these, but they are just killing your health. They are the most probably inflammatory food that you can ingest. So a great alternative, if it's in your baking recipe, I promise you, you can find an alternative for it. You can use avocado oil. You can use coconut oil. Coconut oil is a great, great, great baking tool because it's already naturally kind of buttery sweet. So use real butter instead of margarine, like that type of stuff, you know? Just, I cook only with butter and with avocado oil if I'm going to be roasting something because it has a high smoke point. So those are the two that I use. Let's see. Last thing is just going to be to, I already talked about it, but just move daily how you want to. Improving that movement is going to help tremendously. So nonetheless, I think talking and looking at myself in this video makes me talk longer. It feels like I'm having a conversation with actually somebody, but it's just myself. So that's kind of funny. But nonetheless, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am so excited to post this to YouTube. I was having a chat with my preceptorship because now I'm in my externship basically. So I'm working under a doctor's office. And he was telling me that, you know, the one thing he could tell somebody back when he was 10 years younger, when he was first starting out, was to get into YouTube and to get into social medias and to be posting, be present. And I just feel so blessed to be in this opportunity to already share the information that I have, and I can share it with you guys. You guys can share it with other people. I'm just so thankful to be in this position where I am right now, and I feel like everything that I've done these past 7 years to get to where I am right now is finally aligning, no pun intended there. But I'm just so so blessed, and I can't say that enough. So thank you so much for being a part of this journey with me. I hope you are learning stuff. Please share these episodes. Please just share it with whoever. Subscribe to the podcast. I am so excited to be sharing more in the future, and I hope that you found value in this episode. Again, my Amazon storefront links will be at the end of the show notes, and please go back to other previous episodes and listen about cortisol, about sleep, about stress, about diets. I think those are the ones that I touched upon. So nonetheless, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your day, night, morning, whatever it is.